Hey y'all, welcome to my new podcast, The Scarlet Collective. This is Mary Adele. So I'm just going to jump in, give you an intro about myself, give you an intro about my practice and this podcast, and then we'll dig into some content. So my name is Mary Adele Walters. I am 30 years old. I'm really into astrology, and my sun sign is Gemini. I work part-time right now as a bartender, and I work at an apothecary. I'm training to be an aromatherapist, but alongside both these part-time jobs, I am building a practice in sex education. I'm getting certified right now to become a sexuality educator. Should be official by 2020. And then in terms of hobbies, I'm a roller skater. I skate at skate parks. I skate on long distance. I got into it this time last year, and it just brings me so much joy. And then I live with three cats and my partner in downtown Frederick. If you haven't been to downtown Frederick before, I highly recommend it. Great city. I love living there. So a little bit about my mission within my sexuality education practice. I'm here to normalize and de-shame conversations about sexuality. I think that as a culture, as a society, we really only focus on sexual health, which is obviously important, as well as anatomy in our sex education. But there's so much more to sexuality that we could talk about that's joyful, that's fun, that's important, that can help prevent things from happening, bad things from happening. So I'm here to facilitate those conversations, and I love doing this work. I just also love seeing people get in touch with their pleasurable selves. And that's not just sexual pleasure. I mean just like sensual pleasure, tastes, smells, things that you love, things that you love to do, see, touch. And that all does have to do with sexuality, but not the way that we've thought about sexuality historically and traditionally. So with all of this being said, just so you know, we will be talking about sexuality today. So just a bit of a content warning. If you know you need help, please call 410-531-6677. That's the Grassroots Crisis Center in Howard County. All right. So why is this podcast called The Scarlet Collective? There's a few reasons. I chose the word scarlet because it is both an empowering color. It's that bright, vibrant red that you see people wear as lipstick. It's on that little emoji, the dancing woman emoji. She's got that scarlet dress on. It's just a really like kind of sexual, empowering color. But it's also a traditionally scandalous color. So you may have read the Scarlet Letter. That was all about this woman who had an affair. And so she had to wear a red scarlet letter on her chest in the town. So I just really like that dichotomy. And I think that very much ties into how we think about sex as like a black and white kind of thing. Like, as in you can be way too sexual or you can be really prude. Like, there's all these binaries around sexuality. And I just thought that scarlet kind of spoke to that. And the word collective is in there because I believe on an individual level, if we're talking about sexuality and exploring sexuality and opening up these conversations, we're creating better people. And then in turn, as we're creating better, more open, more honest, more vulnerable people, we're pushing that into our communities. So it's that trickle effect. If one person's being more open and more vulnerable, their loved ones very much might start being more open and vulnerable. And so I want to create this collective, this Scarlet Collective. And so that's really what's going to be the theme. I know that was a lot, but that's going to be the themes of this podcast, is opening up these conversations, becoming scarlets ourselves. So I do call all my listeners and all my readers and all my social media followers scarlets. So that's what I'll be referring to you all as, my scarlets. So why am I doing this work on a more personal level? I've never felt more lit up when I'm talking about sexuality with people. And not just sexuality in terms of intercourse or intimacy, sexuality also as our relationships, like how we relate to each other, how we can build these healthy relationships, consent, how we can start instilling consent into our education at a very young age, and not just in terms of, like, again, sexuality, like consent and how we treat each other, how we create boundaries for ourselves, how we protect ourselves. I learned that this work was for me when I was working at University of Maryland College Park. I was a dialogue facilitator to Greek students, so sororities and fraternities. And it was an 8-week long program. I absolutely loved it. I got to do a different kind of topic each week. And we would talk about body image. We would talk about consent. We would talk about healthy sexuality and healthy relationships. We would talk about bystander intervention. So seeing something happening that should not be happening and going in and stopping it from happening, being a good bystander, being a good part of your communities. I felt good talking about it, and everyone in the room always left the room feeling good and like feeling like they learned something, feeling like they learned something about themselves, about each other. I just love that experience. So that's why I was like, you know what? I have to do this. I have to make this my profession. So I did quit University of Maryland College Park. I no longer do a 9-to-5, and I'm way happier. As I told you earlier, I bartend, I work at an apothecary, and then I am building this practice for myself. Another part of it being my calling is I was actually just talking to Brendan about this. I grew up Catholic, and so there was no conversations around sexuality, not in my house really. And I grew up with a really happy, wonderful, supportive family. We just didn't talk about sex. It just wasn't part of our conversation. And so I don't know how, I'm still working through this, but that really manifested in me in shame, and that affected my whole body to the point where I developed a condition called vaginismus. Some of you may have heard of it. Some of you may not have heard of it before. But vaginismus essentially causes your pelvic floor muscles to tighten and spasm. So anything, you know, there was no penetrative sex ever. It hurt too bad. And I couldn't wear tampons. And I couldn't really even think about sex or talk about it without feeling red in the face, without getting kind of woozy. I just had so much internalized shame about it. And it was not a great time in my life until I found a physical therapist as well as an emotional counselor therapist and worked through a lot of things. And, you know, vaginismus is now at bay. It's definitely something you can overcome. But I thought maybe by starting this practice, not only could I help make these conversations, you know, more open and normal, I could also help maybe other people who are experiencing vaginismus and either don't know it or do know it but don't know how to tackle it. Maybe I could help them begin that process of overcoming it like I did. All right, so that's why I'm here. That's why I'm doing the work I'm doing. I love it. I'll talk maybe at the end a little bit more about what I offer in terms of my practice. But for now, I just want to have a kind of an overall generalized conversation about sexuality. So I'm going to talk about the Circles of Sexuality, which was created by Dennis Daly. Some of you may have heard of it. Some of you may have not. But essentially, these circles state that sexuality encompasses our attitudes, our belief systems, our values, our hobbies, our personal experiences, our community experiences, and more. So essentially, sexuality is who we are day to day. But we don't talk about it. We don't talk about it like that. We only talk about it, again, in terms of reproductive health and, you know, sexual health and what our anatomies do and are. And even that, like, it's not really comprehensive. There's so much more to learn about our anatomies that we're not taught in schools. So there are five circles. There are five circles within the circles of sexuality, and then there's a middle circle. So I'm going to just chat a little bit about each one. My favorite one is sensuality. So what sensuality is, in short, is it's your bodily awareness. So what smells good to you? What colors are you attracted to? What do you like to eat and drink? It's those really physical bodily experiences that we have, like, at all times during the day, but that we don't tune into, or maybe you do, but we're not taught to really tune into it and think about it and think about how it makes us, you know, makes us who we are and how it changes, you know, that changes throughout life, obviously. But that's kind of what sensuality is. It's easy to remember because it has the word sense in it. And so it's really tuning into our senses. And there's lots of other aspects to it than just what I'm telling you now. So it's really worth it to do a Google search of circles of sexuality and look more into these. But another aspect of sensuality is skin hunger. I love this term. So skin hunger essentially is when you are craving and desiring physical closeness. And this can be both with another person or other people or with just yourself. So a way to, if this sounds like something you've experienced before or resonates with you, skin hunger can mean that it's time to like connect with yourself, maybe take a bath and feel that water up against your skin and just know that you're doing this for yourself. It's like a really intimate thing to do for yourself and with yourself. Or maybe it's that you could use a hug. And, you know, I would hope that you have someone that you trust and love enough that you could be like, hey, I really need some closeness right now. Can we hug? Can we cuddle? This can be a friend, a family member, a partner, a romantic partner. So that's what skin hunger is. All right. So the next circle is sexual identity. So sexual identity can be about who you're attracted to and who you feel drawn to romantically, emotionally, and sexually, or whether you're attracted romantically, emotionally, and or sexually at all or to varying degrees. So, you know, there are people who are asexual. There are people who are aromantic that don't necessarily feel romantic feelings or feel sexual feelings toward other people to varying degrees again. So sexual identity can encompass gender identity, but it is not just solely gender identity. And gender identity is a whole nother podcast we can do. But it's just like thinking about your sexual identity is just thinking about what and who you're attracted to and how that, you know, plays into your life day to day. Sexualization is another circle. Sexualization is kind of like the power dynamic of sexuality. So it can talk about both like flirting and how you attract people or want to, or how you desire people and how you kind of manipulate that. And manipulation, it can, obviously manipulation has a negative connotation to it, and as it should. But, you know, there's obviously innocent forms of flirting that are okay and healthy and nice. We all flirt, or maybe not all of us, but a lot of us flirt. And then there's also the side of it, the darker side of sexualization, which is like manipulation in terms of like non-consensual sex and rape and trauma in that way. So that falls under the sexualization circle. Sexual health is the one that we're probably most familiar with. That's thinking about, you know, safe sex, using condoms, using birth control, also thinking about STI prevention and or just conversations around STIs and how to have, you know, sex lives, which is totally normal and totally like doable while having an STI. So it's broader conversations like that, which aren't as prevalent right now, but I think that's within the culture. We're trying to change that. And then also, you know, of course, talking about reproductive health within sexual health. And then our last circle is intimacy. So we've already, I think intimacy and sensuality can tie into each other. I think sensuality can be a more personal experience, whereas intimacy falls more into interactive experiences. And intimacy doesn't have to just be physical intimacy, right? So it doesn't mean, it can mean hugging, but it can also mean like being emotionally vulnerable. So having talks with people you're close to, being honest, opening up when it feels really hard to do so. That's definitely a form of intimacy, sharing trauma that you've experienced, or even just sharing a secret with someone. These are all aspects of intimacy. How you choose to be close to another person and how vulnerable you choose to be all falls under intimacy. So, that is a lot about sexuality, but I just think that it's the most comprehensive way to talk about it in this short amount of time. I highly encourage you, get on Google or whatever search engine you use sometime after listening to this and just look at circles of sexuality and take some time to ponder how each circle really plays into your life. And I'm telling you, I mean, didn't that sound like a lot of different aspects in your life? So that's why we need to talk about sexuality more. There's so much to it, and there's so much you can grow from learning about it. There's so much room to grow. And then also talking about sexuality, I want to be clear that we're not just talking about penetrative sex. We're not just talking about what is presented to us in the media for the most part. It's changing now, but, you know, growing up, I'm, like I said, I'm 30. So what I saw in the media was a lot of heteronormative sex, man and woman, usually white, usually thin. That's how we have been taught to think about sexuality. That's what the porn industry, for the most part, is presenting to us, the free porn. Like, we just are seeing male and female penetrative sex. Sex can be is so much broader and wider than that. I mean, it takes into everything we've already talked about in terms of intimacy and sensuality, but also, like, yeah, masturbation is sex. Doing just like all there's just a lot to sexuality besides just, you know, a penis inside a vagina. There's lots to sexuality and there's so much to explore. And maybe, you know, the other part of this conversation is we've mentioned this earlier. Not everyone wants to have sex. Not everyone's interested in sex, or at least in the ways that we have as a society deemed what is sexuality. So, basically, it's variable. It changes throughout your lifespan as you grow, as you experience trauma, as you experience grief, as you experience joy, as you maybe get married and or decide not to get married, maybe decide to have kids, decide not to have kids. Sexuality changes and fluctuates. It's not stagnant. It's not something that decreases over time. Lots of older people have pleasurable, wonderful sex, maybe even more pleasurable as they get older. So we just need to kind of like shift this conversation. It's bigger than what we've made it to be. And there's just so much, again, you can learn about yourself just thinking about your sexuality. Okay, so part of this podcast, I really want to include questions from listeners. So I want to do like an advice segment. You can totally take my advice as a grain of salt. I obviously like don't know everything. It might not resonate with you, but I am learning a lot. I know a lot about sexuality and people come to me for advice a lot. So that's why I thought that this would be a good segment to include. So I did do, before this podcast started, I did reach out to my Instagram followers to see if people had questions about their sexuality or maybe where they typically have felt shame around sexuality. And I had a great question from one of my followers. The question is it okay to masturbate even if I am in a monogamous relationship? So the answer is absolutely yes. Masturbation is natural and totally okay to engage in whether you're in any kind of relationship or not. I highly encourage masturbation, exploring it if that's something you want to do or explore. And also think about masturbation wider than what, again, we probably have been told. There's lots of ways to masturbate, whether it's just reading something that's sexy or watching something that's sexy and enjoying that. Like, that's a form of masturbation. You don't necessarily have to include your genitals in your masturbation practice. So I also want to note, though, the nature of this question seems to be about fidelity or remaining true to your partner and not hurting their feelings. So I'm not sure if your partner has made you feel guilty about masturbating or not, but if that's the case, you know, it's kind of on them. It's their responsibility to respect your autonomy and independence as a living, breathing human being. So also validating them on their end, it's totally natural to feel insecure. So I think what has to happen here is a conversation. I'm always going to be encouraging lots of conversation and communication with your partners. But just letting your partner know how much you enjoy finding pleasure with them, that's important. Try to, you know, make sure you're saying that to them. It sounds like they might need that affirmation. But also letting them know that you enjoy masturbating because it feels good and it feels right and it feels loving towards yourself. That's important too. That's maybe even more so important because your relationship with yourself is, in my opinion, the most important relationship you have. So again, have this conversation with your boo if needed. And if they continue to make you feel bad or uncomfortable about masturbating, I hate to say it, but they might not be a good fit for you. You want someone supportive. So having someone supportive means that they respect what you want to do with your body, you know, as long as you're not harming yourself in a way, you know what I'm saying. So I also have a fun, sexy tip. If you you feel comfortable about this, you can always ease into it just by talking about it first, but partner masturbation can be really fun, and it's less work for both of you, or all of you, because you can primarily focus on yourself, but both of you are getting pleasure, and it's intimate. So going back to that intimacy conversation, it's intimate because you're together, you're doing this together, you're trusting each other, you know, in this space together. So that might be a good way to, you know, incorporate your partner and validating their insecurities and just being like, hey, let's try this sometime. All right, so that's it for the advice segment. If you have questions that you want to ask me, I'll include this information in my description as well. But all you got to do is email me. My email is info@mariadell.com. Again, that's info@mariadell.com. Also, I'll be including my Instagram handle, so you can always reach out to me via Instagram if you want to DM me. All right, so I think we have time for one more question from listeners. I received a question about desire. So desire and libido. So the person was talking about how, you know, they feel like they're a sexual person and they enjoy having sex both solo and with partners, but it'd been a while and they feel like they don't want to have it. Like there's no desire. The libido is way down. First of all, this is a totally normal experience, like totally normal. This happens to, I would say, probably everyone at least once or twice in their life where they go through phases or a phase of lower libido. So I talked a little bit about this on my episode I did with Julie Murray, who does the Healthy Minds podcast. I was her guest. It was awesome. Check it out. I think the title is Let's Talk About Pleasure BBs. But we were talking about the SES and the SIS. So what those acronyms stand for is Sexual Excitation System and Sexual Inhibition System. And it's part of our central nervous system. Everybody has these, both of these. And the metaphor that Emily Nagoski uses in her book, Come As You Are, which is where I learned about these systems, is the brake and gas pedals of a car. So the sexual excitation system is the gas pedal. It's when everything around you and all the feelings within you are picking up signals of like wanting to have or engage in sexual activity, versus the inhibition system, which essentially means that you are picking up signals, you are, or just not picking up signals, and it's decreasing your libido. It's decreasing your want or desire to have sex. And so what Emily Nagoski recommends in her book, and this is also part of the Kinsey Institute as well. Emily Nagoski just kind of furthered the idea and explored it more and did a lot of research. She says you have to complete the cycle. It's just like when you are going through a stressful situation. I don't know about y'all, but when I feel stress, it doesn't help me to dwell on that stress. It doesn't help me to try to close off the stress and distract myself and, you know, just go and do a lot of things in order to avoid the stress I'm feeling. Or it doesn't have to be stress. It can be grief. It can be any kind of conflicting feeling within you that you're avoiding. Avoidance is very common. If you can just let yourself kind of sit in your grief, in your fear, in your stress, and let it kind of move through you, which sounds so abstract, but I think y'all know what I mean. Like, if you can just kind of sit with what's happening, let your feelings feel out, and it might take a day, it might take many days, months, a year. I don't know. It's going to be different for every person. But it is really about tuning into your inner self, your body, letting these, letting the stress cycle just kind of happen. There's a quote, I think it's Rumi. I'll have to edit for my next episode and find out. But the quote is, "Let all feelings happen to you or go through you. Joy and terror, no feeling is final." I definitely butchered that, but I think that's really beautiful. You kind of just have to let things go through you. It's the human experience. You know, in conversations about mental health, we talk a lot about how this avoidance, how particularly probably I'm only familiar really with my culture, the American culture of like go, get things done, pull yourself up from your bootstraps, straps, just full steam ahead. That's toxic. It's not going to, things will stay inside you even when you're avoiding them. So they're going to have to come out somehow, and they could come out in a really toxic way, or they could come out just by you letting these feelings happen. And I know that's not an easy answer, and I know that's a frustrating answer, especially if you're going through something that's going to take a year, a few years to really get through. But that's really what you need to do in order to move through this time of low desire. On the other hand of this, some people just don't have, you know, high sexual desire or romantic desire, and that's totally normal too, and that's an experience as well that we should note. But all this to say to my friend or to my listener who was wondering about, you know, was kind of nervous about having this period of low desire, I would just kind of check in, like, what else is happening in your life? Did something tragic happen recently? Are you feeling really stressed right now? Do you have a lot going on? Maybe the partner you're, you know, having sex with, or the multiple partners, someone said something that really bothered you and you didn't really realize it, and it's just kind of sitting in you. That's something to think about. You do have to do like a deep dive within your body, within your feelings, within your thoughts. Like, what might be hiding from you right now that you could look at and just sit with and let happen? So that's my advice. That was long-winded advice, but hopefully that helps. So I'm going to include a segment each episode called Pause for Pleasure. So it's just when I'm going to give a shout out to something in my life that's giving me pleasure recently. I have a couple of things for this week. Number one is cherries. Have y'all eaten cherries before? This is like a new discovery for me, this fruit. I've always been like a berry person, but I've never really like dug into cherries until summer of last year. And so all I want during the summer, it's officially my second favorite fruit. My first favorite fruit is peaches, which that season's coming up too. Super stoked about that. But cherries are just beautiful, first of all. If you take a bite of one, that dark color, that's kind of like the scarlet color. Oh my gosh. And then I'm pretty sure it's good for your blood. Don't quote me on that. I'm not a nutritionist, but you know, probably is good for your blood, probably good for everything in your body. And they're just fun to eat. I mean, I know the pit can be annoying, but just saying that when I sit and eat a cherry, I'm fully present in that moment with that cherry. The other thing that's been giving me pleasure is, TV as usual, but Veronica Mars, the new season. Even if you haven't watched the first three seasons of Veronica Mars, if you have Hulu, check out season 4 of Veronica Mars. Really, really good. She's awesome. But yeah, all this to say, pausing for pleasure is so important. I just was on an episode with Julie Murray and her podcast, Healthy Minds. And we were talking about pleasure and how it's not obviously just about sexual pleasure. It's also just about that presence you feel when you're really experiencing something that is enjoyable and that you love. Like eating something, smelling something. And it's not just about experiencing that, but then tuning into the experience. It's kind of meta sounding, but it's like taking the time to be like, oh, I'm enjoying this because it's delicious and because it reminds me of this and because it makes me feel really grounded and I can like hear my heart beating and all this stuff that like culminates, like you feel tingly essentially when you're experiencing really good, really deep pleasure. So I'd love to hear also if you want to DM me or email me where you're pausing for pleasure. Again, I'm going to be doing this toward the end of each episode as a segment. So where to find me. So you can find me on Instagram. I'm at MaryAdele_sexeducator. My website is www.maryadele.com. Those are my two main sources of just information, putting stuff out there. My email address, again, is info@maryadele.com. And I'm really excited to continue this podcast with y'all. And tune in next month for a new episode of The Scarlet Collective. Thanks, Scarlets. I will talk to you soon. Make sure you're seeking pleasure.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.